This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey, I'm on vacation every single day because I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it.
The first couple of times I heard this song, it drove me kind of crazy, just kind of that stuttering start to it. But the more I listen to it, the more I really like it.
Should go and check out the Dirty Heads, Brad.
I like it.
They have a very 311 Sublime-ish feel.
Yes.
If you like those,
good call. Yeah.
Those kind of bands.
Sublime, very underrated. I know they had some big hits on the, you know, the popular charts, but I think Sublime's underrated. It's a really solid band.
They are very good. Bradley Knoll didn't do anyone any favors by dying of a heroin overdose. So.
No, it happens in the music world.
It does, sadly.
Unfortunately, too often. Oh, good Lord. That's how you start your
That's
second hour.
That's how you do it. Really
exactly.
Cheering everyone up.
This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. Just to finish up a piece of business from the last segment, we were discussing what's a fair contract for Whit Merrifield because he doesn't have arbitration or free agency options yet. One of our listeners, I can say, if you tweet at me, I can say it, right? At Nate Kendall. Appreciate you listening to the show, by the way, Nate. Tweet. I didn't know what he was tweeting at me about, and then as I thought about it, I'm like, okay, now I figured it out. So he tweeted at me 5 for $30. But it didn't reference Whit or what we were talking about, so I was trying to think, 5 for $30, what is our friend Nate Kendall talking about? Oh, that he's talking about Whit Merrifield, 5 years, $30 million. I don't see a 5-year contract happening, but you know, reward the kid. He's gonna have more hits and more stolen bases than anybody else in the American League, or could end up tied. Okay? So I appreciate that, Nate. We'll take that under advisement when I go into the negotiations with Whit and his agent. We'll take that under advisement. Coming up at 11 o'clock on the show, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com will join us, talk Chiefs football, get you ready for Monday night in Mile High Stadium. Could be a chance to put the Broncos further back in the AFC West. You have tiebreakers over the Chargers and Broncos after 4 weeks? It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll have the best coverage anywhere, obviously, starting tomorrow with the Border Patrol and Nate Buchady live in Denver.
That's right. I heard that this week.
Yeah.
Got somebody to pay his freight?
I guess. I don't know.
It's awesome. Well, because he's doing the sporting game.
Flying out after the sporting game, unfortunately. I told him to drive like 6 times.
Late at night, driving through.
He would have been fine.
Central Western Kansas. It's dark.
Would have been fine.
There's no lights on the highway out there. That's why I drive during the day when I go to Colorado. Boy, Oakland, could Baker Mayfield beat the Oakland Raiders today?
Sure, why not?
I'm signing up for that. Let's go for that. All right, the other kind of football, the kind Sporting Kansas City plays, is what we're talking about now with our friend of the program, Allie Trost from the Blue Testament. Allie, how are you on this? I'm going to call it a gorgeous Sunday morning. I know it's overcast outside, but it's 72 degrees. We got the studio doors open. It's a great morning.
I'm doing great. Honestly, this is my kind of weather. I am all here for the full overcast, gray, gloomy. I'm also moving today. So this is perfect moving weather. Not too hot.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it was good. And I was bopping my head to that song you guys had.
Jed Marshall.
Not to circle back too much, but...
Allie, after the show, I'll tweet out a playlist of what all I played. But that's the Dirty Heads. The song's called Vacation.
That's
awesome.
Good.
Jed, you are a gem.
All right, it's moving day for you. I think it's going to get up to like 80, 81 degrees today, but it should be overcast, so you guys won't be too much distress in the heat.
Right. And have the sporting game today. That'll be a nice little intermission.
That's right.
So, my day.
Yes, sporting hosting Real Salt Lake, 4 o'clock, Children's Mercy Park. You can listen to it on 1510 AM or 94.5 FM, or if you want to watch it, it's Fox Sports 1, or you can go to the stadium. I think there's a handful of tickets still available. So, Allie, it basically comes down to this. After the results from last night across Major League Soccer, Sporting KC wins today, and they are locked into the playoffs for a club record 8th consecutive season.
I know, it's, you know, big time. This is the time where, you know, it's really going to matter the way the results kind of go over these last few games, and it's Gordon doesn't have an easy road in their final regular season games, as we kind of know. They're facing all Western Conference opponents, and a majority of those Western Conference opponents in their final games are in the top five. So, yeah, it's going to be, you know, there's that extra drive for Sporting today, knowing that they can lock in, punch that playoff card today with a win. But that being said, it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be really a good test for them going into the playoffs if they win today, seeing what kind of form they really are in going up against teams like the LA Galaxy, FC Dallas, LAFC here in these final weeks. So, and Real Salt Lake today. It's going to be a good matchup and a good challenge for them as well.
Well, I read a tweet earlier this week, and I apologize. I forgot to save it, but it was noting how many players for Sporting KC had – I believe it was 6 or more goals, or maybe 7 goals or more. And Real Salt Lake has 5 or 6 guys that have 5 or 6 goals or more. These are two high-scoring teams, and both of them are coming off games in which they were shut out by identical 2-0 margins. So I don't know if we'll see the defenses lock in, or we're going to see a goal-scoring explosion at Children's Mercy Park today.
Yeah, you know, it could really go either way. And honestly, I think it's going to come down to, you know, which defense is in the best form. Is Sporting going to give up some of those softer goals that we saw in the season, or is that in the past? Is that, you know, month of July, is that behind the team now? That's going to be something that we're going to see. Tim Mealy has been coming up huge recently with some really big-time saves. So if he can keep that up, defense can stay locked in and solid. Injuries, for the most part, for Sporting, kind of in the rearview mirror now, which is, you know, really promising going into this last leg of the season. You know, obviously Jimmy Madronda and Christian Lovato are out for the rest of the season. However, getting guys like Diego Rubio, he's back in the 18, as tweeted by Sam McDowell. And so not sure what kind of playing time he will get, or, you know, how ready he is to take on a full 90 or a whole half, what have you. But I think, you know, getting some of these players back, Kyrie Shelton is on track to be back in the next week or 2 weeks, I believe, according to Peter Vermees. So, you know, having that full-strength offense is going to be really important. And I also think seeing Johan Kwaze kind of come up and really come into his own in these last couple of weeks and last couple of games has been really exciting to see. And he brings now kind of this new element to the offense.
We're speaking with Allie Trost, who writes for the Blue Testament, covers Sporting KC and Major League Soccer. Follow her on Twitter, at Allie Trost, and I'll spell it for you, A-L-Y. T-R-O-S-T. She was able to acquire her own name from somebody. Was it somebody somebody in Europe had your name and then they blocked you because you asked for it? Or
So back in college, we had to make a Twitter account for one of my journalism classes where you would tweet during class, you know, answer the questions that they asked throughout the lecture. And so I, you know, just, Allie Trost, handles available. And then I got locked out of that account. And it was hacked by some inappropriate content, that's all I will say.
Oh, boy.
And finally was able to work my way back into the account, had to, you know, communicate with Twitter back and forth for a little bit there. But I have my real, just genuine handle at Allie Trost back in my possession. And I'm so happy.
Well, I encourage folks that follow Sporting KC and Major League Soccer to follow that account. So, you mentioned the injuries for the team and who's coming back today. Roger Espinoza, I think Sam McDowell tweeted this out too. He's been dinged up during the week, but I believe he trained Friday. So if Roger's good to go, obviously that makes it better because, look, you could point to a couple of guys and say heart and soul of the team. You could say Matt Beisler, heart and soul of the team. You could say Tim Melia, the way he plays in goal, heart and soul of the team. Pick a couple of guys. But to me, Roger Espinoza is the guy. If you want an example of how Sporting KC plays and how they just want to go kick your ass, Roger Espinoza is that guy. And he makes the team. Oh, when he's not on the field, there's a nastiness that goes missing from this team. So if he's healthy today, that's a really good thing for Sporting KC.
Oh, yeah. And I believe the tweet said that he's been dealing with back spasms. But that's another thing, kind of going into this last leg. I talked to Eiko Parra the other week at training, and he told me, you know, there are going to be a lot of players right now who are dinged up, they're worn out. It's the end of the season. It's a long season. But what he told me was, is that despite, you know, kind of those little nicks and dings and whatever, he said that getting to the finish line now is all that's on these players' minds. It's all Sporting Kansas City wants. is to get to the finish line. And going kind of off what you said then with, you know, Roger Espinosa and what he brings to the team, a lot of that is that experience. He's been with Sporting for so many seasons now, for such a long time. He's such an idol to, you know, for some of these young players coming through in that central midfield. You look at Gianluca Busio, Juan Cousin. So he's so crucial to have out on the field. And that was another thing that Ike told me, was that coming into playoffs at this point, he's like, nothing should surprise this team because of the experience that they have, because of the guys who have been there, you know, for years now. Like you said, Matt Beisler, Tim Melia, Ike himself now. You know, he's been with the team since 2013, Roger Espinosa. So I think that they have the young raw talent and the new talent that brings new elements, but then they also have this core group of players that Peter Ramiz has worked so hard to keep around and, you know, really making sure that they are, you know, bought in with the system that is Sporting Kansas City. And I think that that translates, trickles down throughout the entire team. And, yeah, let's hope that Roger Espinosa can, you know, put those back sessions aside and kind of get past that to come out and really make a difference today and in these last few regular season games as well.
I do have to laugh sometimes because we talk about Roger Espinosa being with Sporting for so long and he's an institution with the club. And then I think back, I'm like, you know, there were the 3 or 4 years where he was over in England, and that was good for him, make a pile of cash, get a new experience. Mm-hmm. But I think Sporting always knew he would come back, and I think Roger in his heart always knew he would come back. It's just a fit. It's a perfect fit for both.
Yeah. He mentioned something, you know, when they had those renewed contracts with Roger, Graham Zusi, and Matt Beisler, and then Elie Sanchez as well. Peter was asked, you know, along the lines of, especially with Roger, because obviously Beisler and Zusi they've only been with Sporting, and Roger's a unique case in that situation. But, and it kind of goes along the lines with Christian Namath as well, you know.
Yep.
If it was a good fit at the time, it's important to, with Peter, to, you know, kind of, like, welcome those guys back with open arms.
Yep.
If they fit into the system. And that was another thing Peter said that I thought was really cool. He said that, you know, whether it be his players or his staff, he wants them to go out and pursue, you know, any dream that they have, whether it be, you know, in their career as a player, in their career as a coach, what have you. And then if the time's right, if the moment's right, to welcome them back. So I think that was really cool to hear him say that, you know, there's no bad blood, you know, in those situations where, you know, a player might feel a little bit of anxiety kind of expressing to their coach, hey, I really want to take on this opportunity, I want to pursue this, and then still getting the chance to come back and sit back in like you never left.
Yeah, and in the case of Christian Namath, his travels abroad did not go well. And I think his departure was not handled all that smooth, and when he wanted to come back, I think Peter put him in timeout, which is why he had to go, was he New England or DC United?
He was with New England.
New England, and basically didn't play. Yeah. He played a couple of games. So he had to sit in timeout for a little bit until Peter said, okay, time to come home.
Time to come home back to Sporting Kansas City. And he's tallied, got his goal on the season. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, kind of what he brings in this final stretch as well. Because obviously that conversation around the number 9, who's the central forward for Sporting Kansas City, was very persistent throughout, especially that middle stretch of the season. So now that they have a lot of offensive key pieces, kind of like the Chiefs, there's some strong offensive,
good comparison,
strong offensive threats on both football sides in Kansas City. But it'll be exciting to see, you know, kind of what they're able to pull off, and hopefully see some guys come back like Daniel Shalley. We haven't seen much from him. You know, getting Kyrie Shelton back in full health will be important. See if Diego Rubio kind of can continue his hot streak. So, and then Johan Guaze and Johnny Russell. You know, you got two really gritty, dynamic players, especially on those wings. So, it's gonna be an exciting offensive opportunity for Sporting Kansas City.
We're speaking with Allie Trost, who writes for the Blue Testament, covers Sporting KC and all things soccer, talking about today's game, Sporting KC against Real Salt Lake, 4 o'clock this afternoon at Children's Mercy Park in KCK. If you can't make it, you can listen to it on ESPN 94.5 FM or ESPN 1510 AM. I was thinking about this, too, while we were talking. Real Salt Lake, over a handful of years, became a really ugly rivalry with Sporting KC. And by ugly, I mean it was dirty. There were, you know, hard tackles, words exchanged. You know, I don't think any punches have been thrown. But I was thinking about, I was thinking back a couple handful, maybe 3 years, 4 years, when it was really nasty. Kyle Beckerman was probably the most hated player at Children's Mercy Park. He's, if he was playing for the U.S., yay! If he's playing for Real Salt Lake, oh, can't stand that guy. And so they had a, Sporting and Real Salt Lake had a really nasty match early in the season. And it came back for the rematch. And Benny Failhaber, who's one of my favorite interviews of all time, I think he's just a smart, incisive soccer player who has a big career, whether he wants to go front office, coach, whatever he wants to do, TV, be great. So he comes into the media conference room. Everybody is waiting to ask him about Real Salt Lake. He knows it's coming. So he sits down, and somebody, I think, got the question halfway out, like, so what do you think about Real? And then Betty goes, I hate him. I hate Real Salt Lake. And then somebody said, can we quote you on that? He said, quote it. I hate Real Salt Lake. Quote it. And then, of course, it got back to the Real Salt Lake people. But I wonder how much of that is, there's still plenty of guys who are on that team with Benny, but as you go to training and you're around the guys, is there still a simmering hatred between the clubs?
You know, not that I have heard this per se. I think for me, the biggest rivalry that I've seen, or the most bad blood I've seen between Sporting and another team, has without a doubt been the Houston Dynamo.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, like you said, there is kind of that history of some bad blood with Real Salt Lake. So, but, you know, I don't know. I think we'll see kind of today. If there is, it's going to be completely heightened just given the nature of the game. Sporting can, as we know, secure their playoff spot with a win today. So there's, you know, that's a known fact on both sides going into this game. So I think any, you know, emotion, any kind of bad blood, anything of that nature is going to be absolutely heightened and kind of brought like to the brought into the light if it's still there. So I don't know. Hopefully, I wonder if Benny Failhaber will be watching from LA if he's still. You know, that's a pretty bold statement to make. But that was, you know, kind of going back to Benny a little bit. I never really got the chance to interview him, and I've seen interviews with him, and I've heard just from so many people. Oh, interviewing Benny Failhaber was just. Either, you know, you always got a very candid, a very honest, just, you know, emotional, not emotional in the sense where, you know, they just kind of go off, but, you know, he kind of, it's kind of what you see is what you get. He's not going to give you a run-of-the-mill answer by any means. So I love that. That's an amazing story. And I really, you know, I wonder if he'll be watching from home saying, I hate Real Salt Lake.
I think he will, because he's tweeted at some of his former Sporting KC teammates during the season saying, great game, or things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's all about still following the team, and you know, I don't think he'll tweet out any negative things, because you know, he's in a playoff race of his own at LAFC. But you're right about his interviews. He's one of the most honest people you ever meet, and whatever he wants to do, if he wants to go into TV or run a front office or be a coach, whatever it is, he's got the world at in his hands as soon as whenever he decides to retire. We're talking with speaking with Allie Trost from the Blue Testament. You can follow her on Twitter at Allie Trost, A-L-Y-T-R-O-S-T, Sporting KC and Real Salt Lake this afternoon, 4 o'clock at Children's Mercy Park. Sporting KC with a win locks themselves into the playoffs for the eighth consecutive season. Interesting coaching matchup today, and I don't normally go that deep into coaching matchups, but you know, the known commodity for us is Peter Vermes. I think, and I've said this before, and I don't think I'm saying anything outlandish, Peter Vermes is the best manager in Major League Soccer. There, I said it. I said it again. I think he is. I just do. Maybe Bob Bradley will, you know, grab that mantle in a couple of years after he's got everything established with LAFC, although they're rolling. But on the other side...
They are rolling.
Yeah. The other side, you have Mike Petke. And when he was with the New York Red Bulls, I thought he was a top coach, one of the top coaches in Major League Soccer. And I believe he got fired by New York Red Bulls after they had made a deep playoff run, or I'd have to look it up, but they may have gone to the championship game and lost, or the conference title game and lost. But he was fired. He was caught off guard. And I think he was bitter about it. Then he went and coached lower-level teams like the Real Monarchs. And everybody thought, well, he'll be the next head coach of Real Salt Lake. And turns out he is. But it's an interesting career pattern for Mike Petke. And he's back and coaching. And he has a really solid team. And I think it shows.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that it's going to be a tough matchup, you know, not even just players on the field, but between the coaches as well. Like you said, two very solid, successful coaches who know the game and can really coach a team to a successful victory through a successful season. But Peter Vermes, there's been a lot of we've learned a lot about Peter Vermes recently. I feel like there's been a lot of really great stories kind of highlighting, you know, his success and how he got to where he is and, you know, his method, the Sporting Kansas City way. And I think it's been really cool to see. I know Sam McDowell had an awesome piece, if you haven't read it, on his kind of deep dive into, like, the mind of Peter Vermes, who he was as a player, how he was as a kid, you know, kind of growing up with two immigrant parents and the lessons instilled at a young age in that way. And I just think a guy like him, a player like him, a coach like him, you know, all of those experiences kind of make him obviously who he is today. And I'm with you. I don't think that there is a coach who is even up there in the conversation of Peter Vermes and, you know, the caliber of a coach that he is. What he brings to Sporting Kansas City, and I know there's obviously been all that talk about will he take on the U.S. men's national team role when his contract's up with Sporting and if they're still looking, you know, what will they, you know, bring on Peter Vermes, which I think it would be a very smart move for the U.S. men's national team and the entire the state of soccer in America as a whole. But no, I think that manager Peter Vermes is he's a one-of-a-kind coach, and the passion that he brings, that kind of like not done yet attitude and wanting to really always get better. There's no like accomplishment, no success that could ever be enough. So that's the kind of mentality that you want out of a coach with a team that you're trying to build and carry into the future to be successful.
All right, so final thing on Peter Vermes, and I'm just making this as a statement. I won't ask for your comment, but I bet he's the only manager in Major League Soccer who speaks English, Spanish, and Hungarian. And that, you know, recruiting a guy like Christian Namath, that might have helped a little bit.
Yeah, you have to imagine that helps him, you know, making players feel comfortable coming into
absolutely,
you know, a city and a team that they, you know, foreign to them. So you'd have to think that is really helpful for him too. Just another part of the Peter Vermes Swiss Army knife.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like we keep learning more and more about.
Whatever kind of knife, saw, spoon you need, he's the Swiss Army knife of managers. Hey, Allie,
got it.
Good luck today moving. Hopefully you got some good friends to help you with all the furniture and buy them some pizza and some beverages or something. And then head out.
I've got the Blue Testament guys helping me.
There you go.
And
all right.
Repaying and barbecue later.
So. All right. Well, enjoy. Also, you're going to Children's Mercy Park for Sporting and Real Salt Lake. Enjoy that and a win today. And Sporting is in the playoffs. Allie, enjoy your afternoon.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That is Allie Trost from the Blue Testament, officially a friend of the program. We named her a friend of the program, what, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
You get to like your third or fourth appearance, you're a friend of the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fast rules on this, but.
No, yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of, I guess, my call. Anyone who like gets my sense of humor in the text I send,
yeah,
officially friend of program.
Yeah, it took me a while to get your sense of humor. There's one person that I'm not going to say his name on the air. I just don't
do
get
it.
No. Somebody I don't get all the time, but that's okay.
I don't know.
I probably shouldn't have brought it up. Anyway, Allie Trost, please follow her on Twitter, at Allie Trost, A-L-Y-T-R-O-S-T. Good stuff with Sporting KC and Major League Soccer. She writes for the Blue Testament. If you want to listen to Sporting KC and Real Salt Lake this afternoon at 4 o'clock, you can do that on our sister stations, ESPN 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. Or on the television, you can watch it on Fox Sports 1 or got that Fox Sports Go app, which I finally got this summer for the World Cup. Thanks to Jed Marshall for forcing me to do it. On that note, we will take a timeout and we come back. We'll kick around some things. We're going to go some different directions. We didn't get too much into the Royals and Adalberto Mondesi. Maybe a little bit more on that. or more college football. And set the table ahead. Coming up at 11 o'clock, friend of the program, Matt Derrick, will join us from ChiefsDigest.com. Talk about Monday Night Football. Chiefs, Denver, Mile High. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back up on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City and across the Midwest, 50,000 watts. Also listen on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We are live in the Rally House studios. Just wrapped up with Allie Trost from the Blue Testament, who joined us on the Sprint guest line. Two good guests right out of the get-go. I was going somewhere and I lost it. Allie Trost, Howard Richmond talking Ryder Cup. By the way, if you want an update, if you don't want a spoiler alert, if you taped it at 5 o'clock in the morning, spoiler alert, I'm going to talk about the Ryder Cup again. So,
turn down your radio.
It's bloodletting, folks. I mean, they should just stop this. If this was a boxing match, somebody would have stepped in on this a while ago, probably an hour, hour and a half ago. Somebody would have stopped this. The Europeans have locked it up. They've already won. 16.5 to 10.5. The remaining matches, well, there's one left. Bryson DeChambeau and Alex Noren, the anchor leg today. Noren is up one, or one up, through 15. DeChambeau had been one up earlier, and then it was all square for most of it. And DeChambeau just put one in the water on 16.
Still wearing that stupid hat, too.
I like it. I know you don't like him, but I like it. It reminds me of Payne Stewart. There's a Missouri guy. So DeChambeau has to play until he's knocked out, already knowing that this is over. That sucks. It really stinks. They always have a... I heard the players earlier this week talking about there's always a post-Ryder Cup party on the night of the final day. How's that going to go? And then they said... You know, like if the Americans win, which they did last time, the Europeans would come over to the party for a little bit, shake hands, maybe have a couple of pops, congratulations, and then go back. Boy, if I'm on the American team today, holy smokes. I mean, the last time the Americans lost, and it was bad, when Tom Watson was the captain and Phil Mickelson got up there at the podium and they were on the podium together, it was really uncomfortable. And Phil basically said Tom Watson didn't do us any favors, and then he demanded the commission to reevaluate everything the United States does about the Ryder Cup. Turned out it helped them 2 years ago and they got the win, but this time around, holy smokes. This bad, I understand losing. Europeans are a great team. They have great players. But this was a bloodletting of epic proportions. Started out the first day, USA up 3-1. Smoked from there.
The U.S.'s problem, and you and I were talking about this the other day, is that they're awful at, you know, alternating shot. For whatever reason, they don't recognize or have the ability to play as a team. I don't understand it because they're great players. I'm like, dude, if I can play in a scramble, you guys should be able to piece this together. You're the best players in the world.
And the Europeans set up the course to negate the drivers and the long bombers of the U.S. team. Yep. And they paid the price for it. United States never adjusted.
Way to blow it, America.
Thanks, America. Appreciate it. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, really great effort.
We were talking about, before we get to Chiefs football at 11 o'clock, we just spent a couple of minutes talking about the Royals and some of the things they've done over the last month. Been really fun to watch. Absolute blast to watch. Okay, they were out of this in May, June, whatever. Pick your date when they were out of it. It's been fun the last month and a half. Let's say 6 weeks. And the Royals have been actually, since the All-Star break, have been what I would call decent, slightly below average as opposed to awful. But Adalberto Mondesi called up June 17th, and I'm reading from Sam McDowell's piece in the Kansas City Star. Is Sam McDowell working every sporting event under the sun right now over at the Star?
Yep.
Because he's doing sporting.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing Royals.
Yeah.
Is he doing some Chiefs in college football, too?
I think so.
He's just about everywhere.
Like, Sam's well-rounded. He is a Missouri graduate, so right. He's obviously well-accomplished.
It's like Blair Kirchhoff. He is the... Call Blair Kirchhoff. I'll call him America's guest.
Yeah, many hats.
He's everywhere. Was he last week? He drove all over the East Coast for Missouri, Purdue, and then he was at the Chiefs Pittsburgh game the next day.
Also, the most agreeable man probably in the United States.
It should be illegal to be as nice and as well rounded as Blair Kirchhoff. There should be like a fine involved. Like, you cannot be that nice to everybody unless you pay a fine.
Great laugh.
Yes, the clips they play on the program with Soren Petro, that intro he has. Make them laugh, make them, yeah. Anyway, back to the Royals, who are making me smile because they're playing good baseball. So Adalberto Mondesi called up on June 17th, as Sam writes, the jewel of the farm system and centerpiece of a renovation. The result since the call-up on June 17th, 23-year-old man who did not play the first 2 months of the season is the second most adept home run hitter on the current roster. Provided an interruption to the frustrations of a 100-loss season. Got that home run last night. Number 14 on the season. Royals won 9-4. And by the way, kudos to the Royals. When they do the fan appreciation night, they do it right. There's a lot of prizes and a lot of things they give away. And I've seen the players before stand at the rail and sign hundreds of autographs for people.
Isn't the giveaway this year a hoodie?
Think it was?
I don't know. Whatever it was, I remember I wanted it. I think it was a hoodie.
And I've seen players hand out their bats, like, well, I'm done for the season. Here's a bat. They hand out their batting gloves and autograph them for the kids. Here's what Whit Merrifield said this after the game about Adalberto Mondesi. Quote, he's the most dynamic player I've ever seen. Adding, it's kind of what he's been doing lately. That's a big progression with him and his game right now. It's exciting to see. Whit Merrifield, high praise. Mondesi, 14 home runs, second most on the team, right behind Salvador Perez, who has 27. Although, as Sam McDowell notes, 11 of those were before Mondesi reached the big leagues on June 17th. A home run last night off Andrew Miller, one of the best left-handed relievers in the game. He's been pretty good, right?
He's good. He had that one awesome postseason, which bolstered his...
Yes.
Made him a lot of cash. Yeah, it did.
Made him a lot of cash.
His opinion, or the opinion that people had of him, changed substantially.
Right. So Mondesi's home run last night, you know about this about me, Jed. I appreciate the advanced stats and adding things into it, but to me, an eyeball test is still pretty good. He crushed the home run last night. Went 427 feet. I think it bounced off the railing in front of the fountains. When I saw it, it looked like it hit the railing behind the fountains. It's crushed. But it's nice to add a little bit more to it. So as Jesse Newell notes in his story, no, Sam McDowell, pardon me, in the Kansas City Star, home run ball came off his bat at 2.8 miles an hour, 427 feet, according to StatCast. Royals had 16 hits last night. That's some raw power. I was talking to a friend of mine, John Fox, earlier this week. Huge Royals fan, super nice guy. So I was talking to John Fox. I said, you remember about 4 or 5 years ago, I came back from spring training after watching Raul Mondesi when he was, 17? Probably 16, 17. And I go to the backfields a lot to watch the minor leaguers play, not just the major leaguers. Let me check out this Mondesi kid. He's got a big name. A lot of hype. And I came away thinking, the kid is super raw. He's 17, of course he's raw. But when I watch him round the bases during batting practice or base running drills or base stealing drills, came back and I said, this kid is ridiculous. Speed, he just glides around the bases. Reminded me so much of Carlos Beltran. So I was telling my friend John Fox about this several years ago. And I texted him the other night when he went home on a ground ball back to the pitcher. Mondesi was at third base. Pitcher fielded the ground ball in front of the mound, checked Mondesi at third, threw to first, and Mondesi took off. Folks, it wasn't close. That kind of speed is ridiculous. And so I texted my friend John, and I said, this is what I've been telling you about for the last 4 and 5 years. I'm not predicting somebody's going to be a superstar. Somebody can flame out just as quickly as they explode. I just made two references involving fire, explosion and flaming out. You can flame out just as fast as you are anointed the next big thing, I guess. And that could happen. It happens all the time in Major League Baseball. All the time. But the ridiculousness of his raw skills when he puts it together, man. Like I said, Carlos Beltran's the last player I've seen like this. And maybe part of it is because they're both switch hitters. They both have... Carlos had good speed. Mondesi has great speed. Two good base dealers. Carlos was a good base dealer early in his career. Because they always said, you run to your first contract, you hit to your second contract.
That's the Boris adage.
Yes.
Mondesi, though, is not a Boris guy, I like to point out.
I don't know who his agent is. I don't know. Not really worried about it yet. But just ridiculous. And when you think about the possibilities, you know, I could go through the whole roster, but you've got a guy who could be a superstar. Could be. You've got one of the more solid players in the game in Whit Merrifield. Not a superstar, but a solid player. By the end of the day today, he'll finish the season leading the American League in stolen bases, or it could go back and forth, but I think he's going to pretty much nail that. Could finish leading the American League in base hits. Currently on a 19-game hitting streak. Man, that's a lot of fun. Jacob Junis last night was pretty good. Remember, he had those struggles this year, like every guy who's going through his first full season at the big league level. He's been better lately. Six innings, gave up three runs, picked up the win, thanks to Aldoberto Mondesi. He's going to finish the season with a 9-12 record and a 4.42 earned run average. 3-0 in his last six starts. Said Jacob Junis after the game, I'm pretty happy how I finished this September and the whole season. I had a bumpy stretch in the middle, but these last 2 months I can't complain. I think I finished strong. And he did. Look at him. Look at Brad Keller. Some good things happening, this ball club. Not predicting the playoffs anytime in the next couple of years. But you can see the signs of a team that not only is in a rebuild season, you lose 100-plus games, yeah, you're rebuilding. But a team that has some guys who can get them back to being competitive again. Absolutely. 100%. Playoffs today, well, not playoffs today, but playoff implication games today. We could have multiple games on Monday to decide things between wild card and divisions. I was trying to find, I was reading an article on the possibilities for today, but where'd it go? I'm not going to find it, so I'll just call it the standings instead. The National League is where you're watching. The American League's done. So over in the National League, you have the Cubs have clinched a playoff spot, but not the division in the NL Central. The Brewers have clinched a playoff spot. Cubs and Brewers have the exact same record. 94-67. I thought you had a thought there, Jim.
Oh, no, I just was going to say, obviously, the Royals are out of it, and the NL is where the intrigue is. Do you have a team that you like?
I have two.
Okay, good.
And I'll tell you why in a second. So the Cubs and Brewers are tied for the lead in the Central. Whoever, if they both win today or they both lose, they'll have to have a one-game playoff to decide the division with the other team going to the wild card game. In the NL West, the Dodgers and Rockies, both sitting at 90-71. Both have clinched playoff spots. But again, if the Dodgers and Rockies both win or both lose today, they'll have to have a one-game playoff to decide who goes to the wild card. I would love that. Wouldn't you like one more Monday with, or maybe they play Tuesday. I haven't checked yet, but I'd love to see one day with four teams playing to decide a division?
The more this is the best time for me, sports wise, just for a lot of different reasons. But yeah, I'll take as many baseball games as we can get.
So here's, I have two teams I'm kind of rooting for in the National League, and I'll get your teams as well. The obvious choice is the Brewers. They're Royals Jr. They've got all the former Royals on there. They have, I counted six players the other day. So it's Renzo Cain, Mike Moustakas, Joaquin Soria, Jeremy Jeffress, Eric Kratz caught the other day at catcher. I didn't even know Eric Kratz was still in the league. And Manny Pena plays catcher for the Brewers. Six former Royals. Milwaukee Brewers. That's the easy choice. And I'll take it. I'd love to see them go. But I also have the Colorado Rockies as a 1B, I guess. My brother just moved out to Colorado a couple of months ago. And my brother's not the biggest sports fan in the world, but I call him a casual fan. He doesn't watch the Chiefs hardly at all. But since he moved to Colorado, he's been trading texts with me all week. Rockies are close. I'm like, oh, okay, you're a Rockies fan now? Well, he kind of has to be. He lives in Colorado, and it's a National League team, so he doesn't have to root against the Royals. So I'll take Brewers and Rockies. Jed, you got a pick before we take the break? Team you're rooting for?
I like Oakland.
Oh, yes, good choice.
And obviously the Brewers. The other team that I wouldn't mind, and I'm a huge Francisco Lindor fan, would be Cleveland.
Sure.
I'd love to see what would happen. That city would go insane. I mean, for a Browns win, they unlocked all the Bud Light or whatever. So I'd like to see what happened in, like, I don't know, get Munch Bishop on or something. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, be off the charts. So, yeah, if you got a team, great. If you don't, that's great, too. Just enjoy the play. I hope we have 2 1-game playoffs on Monday or Tuesday.
And if we do, we'll obviously have those probably over on ESPN 1510-94.5 FM.
Okay, fantastic. On that note, we will take a quick timeout. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, will join us and talk Chiefs football Monday night. Kansas City in Denver, Mile High Stadium. And then at 11:30, Jed Lines, where Jed Marshall has selected stories for our consideration. Could be sports, could be entertainment, could be locally, it could be nationally, it could be around the world. Stories that are a little bit different, maybe. I don't know what the stories are. Jed will read them, and then I'll comment on them, and we'll discuss. On that note, quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is a song where if I were walking down the street, by the way, I love having the studio doors open here on a gorgeous morning like today, except when the police cars are going by. Somebody did something.
Yeah, it makes me nervous.
Yeah. I think they're far enough away now. But this is the kind of song where if I was like walking down the street in like a music or bar district and I heard this kind of music playing, I'd be like, yeah, we're going in there.
It's Fish, the Moment Dance.
I probably wouldn't be able to get, they wouldn't play a bar, so.
Maybe in Vermont.
I don't know. Well, maybe.
Their hometown, I don't know.
Yeah. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show. We're live in the Rally House studios. I did have a story I was going to share, but I'm going to save it for next hour. I met a guy yesterday. I was at the Central Bank of the Midwest grand opening at Sunfresh over on 50th Terrace off Blue Parkway, Kansas City, Missouri. And a guy came up and told me something yesterday that it left me, I'm not going to say shaking, it left me thinking about things and how maybe you don't even consider how people receive what you're saying. And maybe you help somebody without knowing it. And this guy told me a really great story. It meant a lot to me. And it's going to mean a lot to people at 810 WHB. But I'm going to save that for later in the show. Right now, I'm going to go to Tommy Moe. Tommy, I got about 2.5 minutes left. What's on your mind on this Sunday?
Hey, you guys are both spoiled. You guys live in Overland Park, Kansas, a cop car, okay? This is not Chicago.
I live in Prairie Village, Tommy. Easy.
Yeah, even better. Even better, yeah, Prairie Village. That crime-infested Prairie Village. Come
my
on,
concern
guys.
Was the siren sound would go over the radio. That was my concern.
Well, you know, that's a fact. That's fine. But, hey, totally agree with you Whit Merrifield, 3 years, $15 million. I'm giving him $5 million a year. I mean, he's well worth it. Is he second or third best player on the team? Probably. And, you know, I just think it would be in good faith for the Royals. I think they can tear that up and give him 3 years, $15 million, five a year. I think I'm kind of in between you and what Jed were talking about, dollar amounts, years amounts. And that gets him through arbitration. That gets him around early 30s, and then we can decide what we want to do with him there. But to have him and Mondesi knowing that that's the middle of our infield for the next 3 years, it would be nice, and they're both taken care of. Whit Merrifield doesn't seem like a guy that's going to cause any commotion because of his salary. But, you know, I think the guy well deserves a raise. He's better than $500,000 a year in the scope of what major league players are making these days. So I agree with you guys. Let's tear it up. Some good faith.
They don't have to tear it up. It's only a one-year deal because he doesn't have enough service time to warrant an extended contract. So he makes about $550,000 this year. They've increased it a little bit over the first year. But, yeah, I think he's worthy of a three-year $15 million. I'd be totally cool with that. Totally cool with that.
I agree. And lastly, I would like to see major league history today at the K, and that's if Salvi hits a home run. That would be 8 years in a row he's increased his home run total, which would be a major league record.
Wow, I did not even think about that. Wow, that's a good. I'm going to have to make sure I watch that because I looked at the NFL.
Have NFL on one TV and the Royals on the other.
Absolutely, Tommy Moe, I appreciate that and shout out to Salvi. Let's get it done. All right.
Oh wow, look
all right,
at
guys.
Tommy's taking shots at me for living in Prairie Village. Him with two TVs, fancy pants.
And I live in Kansas City, Missouri. So,
I have to go to a sports bar. Okay, that's for us poor slappies in Jackson County. Okay.
Fair enough.
I live in Kansas City,
Tommy.
And I live in Jackson County, both. So, Tommy, have a great rest of your Sunday. All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, that's Tommy Moe, regular on. He calls Seren quite a bit. Calls on the weekends quite
calls
a bit.
Calls everybody.
Yeah,
calls Cody.
I love it. Love Tommy Moe. Somebody's out there on Sunday. So I'm going to tell that story later in the show about a man I met yesterday and what he had to say about the power of the radio station. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Hopefully it's a heartwarming story. Quick timeout. Coming up next, Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. Talking Chiefs, Monday Night Football. Patrick Mahomes going back to the Mile High City. This is Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall's running the show. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.